They were bad times that at 2003, 2004 with the administration, and you know, we were days from, you know, going under, and we as players, we had such a good start really as well, and then everything happened off the pitch which affected us, and such a bad time. So to try and put that right was difficult, but I feel that individually I've helped do that, you know, try and put it right, because maybe it was the best thing that happened to the club, because now I feel the club's with the chairman, Jason McGill, obviously at the time he was in the trust, but he's now chairman, and financially I think York's better. You know, we've just been granted the new go-ahead for the stadium. I just generally think the club's in a much better position. You know, no disrespect to the team that got relegated, but I do think this is a stronger team. We've got a more experienced manager that's been there and done it as a player and as a manager. So, like you say, it's just individual, because that was such a bad time that time. I do feel like, you know, I kind of put a bit a wrong right.
Yes. So. It's a bad memory, best left behind.
Well, that's it. It's never good to have relegation on your CV, and it kind of just hopes that we've got the promotion and the trophy.
Doesn't it just?
It pushes towards, yeah.
Doesn't it just? You smile from ear to ear every time you think about it. It's like a light switch going on, isn't it?
Yeah, because as a team, you try and obviously push that aside, because that was last season. And if we go to the attitude of, oh, we won the trophy, we got promoted, we'll be all right this year. We won't be. We'll get punished. So the memories will always stay with us, our own individual memories, and as a team memory, it'll always stay with us. But you have to try and put that a little bit to the side.
You see, you're doing it again there. I can hear you addressing the other players in the dressing room. Now, who does that? Is that the gaffer that speaks to you all, or do you actually have to say your bit as captain? Because that little bit about, now, let's not just rest on our laurels because we did well last season. We've got to actually start working our way through this again.
Well, that's my role as captain, you know. You know, the gaffer's, he's such a good talker that, you know, when he talks, we are literally just staring at him, listening, taking it all in and understand it. And that's the sort of thing he's portrayed onto us. And as captain, that's the thing I think I need to do, is to get a good start to this season. We don't need to have a hangover from last season. So, you know, the lads know that, and I know that, and all I can do is make sure they do know it.
Starting from scratch again.
Yeah, that's basically it.
How did you start? How did you get? When did you realise you had the potential to be a professional footballer?
I was relatively a late starter. I was eight. I know that sounds daft. I know. Well, these kids now down at the park and in academies at 5 and 6. And
how old are you now?
I'm 31.
Good Lord.
I know.
Grand old age of 31.
And I started at 8, just Sunday league, and I was lucky enough to get spotted there through Derby and moved to Villa, and then, you know, the first professional club was Leeds, and then to Reading, and it went on from Reading to York, and then.
What are your memories of those days?
Oh, I loved them. I loved them. It was school got pushed aside, which was probably a regret now. But you know, I was footballing 6 times a week, some days twice on the same day. So football just, you know, kind of took over. But I loved it. No complaints.
We've talked about this business of a very turbulent time in the club at the time of relegation, and the supporters' trust. I think, didn't they step in to save the club from extinction at that time?
From what I remember,
just how difficult were things? What's your abiding memory of that time?
It kind of just went just after Christmas. It went a little bit wrong. I mean, we didn't get paid for 3.5 months, which in any business is difficult to not bring to work as such, and we were doing that, and it was affecting us. And you know, people think footballers, yeah, they're on this much money, they'll be able to go without, but trust me, it was hard. The PFA stepped in and helped us a little bit, and if it wasn't for, I believe, Steve Beck and the trust, Jason McGill, we would literally have gone under. I remember Sunderland helping us, and we just went on a really bad run of games, and we had such a young side that we just couldn't dig ourselves out of it.
It is a downward spiral when it starts, isn't it? Because bad results lead to falling gates lead to no money coming in. It's like a plane diving downwards.
That's it, and we just didn't know how to get out of it. And if I'm totally honest, you know, we had a young manager in he was 28, I think, Chris Brass at the time. Maybe he didn't know as well, so we just went further and further into trouble, and we just couldn't get out. I think we got relegated with 2 games to go as well, so
Did you think you'd find another club at the time, or did you think the writing was on the wall for Chris Smith's playing career?
Well, I don't want to go over it too much, but at the time I had a contract in place here, but because we got relegated, I never actually signed it, and then we got relegated, and it was kind of took away from me, in the fact that you've got to take a big cut, or you know you can't sign. And I was like, well, you know, you promised me this much money. It's not all about the money, but that's what, you know, the contract's a contract.
You've got to live, haven't you?
Well, that's it. And I couldn't afford to live on what they were offering. So I said, look, I don't want to, but I'm going to have to go. So I'd literally just moved into a house based on my wages from the new contract. So I had to then sell the house and just at them sort of times in your life, you question, you know, is it what you want to do? And you've had a bit of bad luck and, you know, I kind of just went off the boil for a couple of months. You know, I was debating whether to stay into football or to go elsewhere. And then something happened at Notts County. I wasn't this close to signing then. And for my bad luck, something else happened. So I couldn't sign for them. And, you know, in the end, I signed for Stafford Rangers semi-pro. So it was difficult.
And you went back to... Well, you learned a trade.
Yeah, I learned a trade because the money that I was getting at Stafford wasn't enough to live, so I went and got a trade, which was plastering. And, you know, it taught me a valuable lesson, really, because footballers do get a bit of an easy life, you know, up a bit later and finished a bit earlier. And, you know, plastering was 8 till 6, and then it would be training afterwards and trying to eat in between. And it was difficult, but it taught you that you were privileged... You know, when you were footballing, maybe that I and footballers do take a little bit for granted.
Well, I don't know. I think it earns, you know, if the fans get to know that you've got a trade and you can actually do something practical, which is what they've got to do on a day-to-day basis to make ends meet, I think it probably earns you huge respect.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still friends with the guy I worked for now to this day. He came to Wembley both times.
Did he?
Yeah. He's plastered my house with me. He's actually plastering my best friend's house in 2 weeks' time. So, you know, I made some good friends there and I learnt a trade, which, you know, I might take into consideration when I come to retire. I don't know. But, yeah, it taught me some valuable lessons.
Are you any good as a plasterer?
I'm all right. I can't do ceilings.
You can't do ceilings?
No, I can do walls.
What do you mean you can't do ceilings?
It's difficult.
I've never plastered anything in my life. I don't know. You just see these shots of people just skimming the plaster across the walls.
Well, I thought that. And after day two or three, I can remember going, come on, give me a go. And he said, all right, have a go. All over the floor, hardly any on the wall. They make it look so easy, and it's such a skill.
Is this why plasterers are well paid and very hard to find?
Well, they were back then. I believe now, from speaking to my friend, a lot of plasterers are struggling at the minute, as are in construction, but... yeah, it was difficult as well because I was learning. I'm right-handed, he's left-handed, so I had to try and work out backwards. So it was good. I enjoyed it. We had some good times as well. It was hard as well, but
come on, your York City captain's top tip for anybody trying to do some plastering at home: basic rule of doing decent plastering is
there might be some proper plasterers out there as well that might be listening to this and be questioning what I'm saying. I would say not to play with it too much because you try and get it perfect straight away. No, you let it set for a bit, then go over, then let it set for a little bit more.
Right. So it's like painting a wall, then. Don't panic if it looks patchy. Let it dry and then see.
Well, yeah, don't let it go totally dry. But, yeah, you know, that's what you try and get it perfect straight away. That's not the way to do it.